All right. Good morning. I want to welcome you to Mount Olive Church and welcome to our Christmas Advent series that we've entitled Miracle and Mystery. If you're brand new with us, it just started last week, so you haven't missed too much of the series. Welcome you if you're brand new and excited to have you join with us today. You know, Christmas, I don't know if you've experienced this, but as we get closer to Christmas, often I start to feel some Christmas anxiety. I don't know if you've had Christmas anxiety. Maybe for you, it's, you know, because you got to go see your in-laws. It's not for me. That's not my Christmas anxiety. It's not because I haven't done my Christmas baking yet. I'm not in charge of the Christmas baking, but maybe for you, your Christmas anxiety is tied to those things. But my Christmas anxiety has to do with gifts and presents. Partly because we live in an affluent society, and most of us have everything we need and most of what we want, and sometimes it's like, what am I going to get my parents? Like, what could I get them that's like going to, you know, be like, wow, thank you? Or what am I going to get my spouse? Or what am I going to get my kids, my friends, family members, whoever it is? And maybe you've experienced that too. Like, what is it that I will get? And you just start getting filled with anxiety, you know, and especially as you get closer to Christmas. So my friend Nate says, as long as it's not the 24th yet, it's all fine. You still got time. So, you know, it's okay. So, I remember a couple of years, this is a true story regarding this gift-giving thing. A couple of years ago, I gave my wife, it's the only time it's ever happened where I gave my wife a gift and she cried, as far as I know. Now, she may have cried out of like tears of sadness at other gifts, but this was the one gift where she truly cried out of joy and excitement over the gift I bought her. And I know we just heard that Josh proposed to Brooklyn and she said yes. I'm sad to say that when I gave Mandy an engagement ring, she didn't cry at that moment as far as I can remember. But she did cry at this gift. She really, really desperately this one year, a couple of years ago, wanted a vacuum cleaner. It's true. This is a true story, okay? But she didn't want just any vacuum cleaner. She wanted one of those, like, it was new at the time, I think. It was like a stick vacuum cleaner. It was battery, and, you know, it was this specific brand she wanted. I'm told it's like a Milwaukee tool that I wouldn't like, but for her. And so she just really wanted the stick vacuum, and she wanted the brand name, of course, right? The brand name, which was super expensive. And so she'd been telling me about this, you know, stick vacuum, and she knows me. And she's like, well, you know, you don't have to get the brand name one. And she's telling me about these, like, you know, knockoff brands that are cheaper. And the whole time I kind of just pretended not to pay attention, which wasn't abnormal because I don't always pay attention. But I just kind of pretended I wasn't paying attention. But in the background, I ordered her the stick vac. And not just like some knockoff brand. I got the, like, expensive brand. Top, I know. She knows me. So Christmas Eve, she comes, and she opens the present, and not only is she surprised that I got her what she had asked for, she was even more surprised that I got her the expensive version of what I asked for, and she started to tear up. It's the only time I've ever, you know, and it was this amazing moment, and for like about 364 days, I felt awesome. And then the next Christmas came. I'm like, Christmas anxiety. How am I going to outdo that, right? I mean, I couldn't even get engaged, and she cried. So I, like, how am I going to outdo that? You know, Christmas is a lot in our culture about giving gifts. And, you know, we spend a lot on the whole idea of gifts and presents, right? I think Canada, statistics I read a couple weeks ago, we spend about $650 per household on Christmas gifts. And in the States, some of the statistics they have are that around $1 trillion gets spent in the Christmas season on retail alone. And so we just spend a lot when it comes to this idea of Christmas. And we're extravagant. And it's true that we can get distracted by all the gifts and presents from the real reason of Christmas. But do you know why we give gifts and presents? It's because our Heavenly Father, 2,000 years ago at the first Christmas, was extravagant in his gift to us. And God gave us the gift of his very presence. And it's a gift we all have experienced need of. There's not a lot we need in our first world, you know, country here. And some of us have some needs, but this is a need we all desperately have, and undoubtedly, I imagine you have felt. At some point in your life, you've probably had this thought, God, where are you? God, would you just show up in my life? God, would you show up in this situation? God, why are you allowing this situation? God, why don't you change this situation? See, the greatest need of humanity, our greatest need and your greatest need is this. It's the presence of God. And humanity, since pretty much the beginning, has been pretty willing to blame God, for the problems in our lives, which just shows us that we intuitively know there must be a God. We'll even blame the God we don't believe in when hard things happen, because we intuitively know there must be a higher being, and we have a desperate need for his presence. If you remember from last week, and if you're new, when God created the world, he created us to be and live in relationship and in his presence with him. But when humanity sinned, the relationship and the union and the fellowship we had with the Father was broken. In fact, physically, that the first man and woman were kicked from the Garden of Eden. They were kicked out of paradise where they had full access to the presence of God. And ever since, humanity's been trying to figure out, how do we get to God? Are there rituals or sacrifices? Is there something we have to do to get to God? Because we know we need his presence. But God decided to do what we couldn't do. And rather than us try to get to his presence, he said, I'll give it to you. And he did it through a man named Abraham. And it was through this man that he was going to bring about a nation called the nation of Israel. And God's presence would be unique in that nation. And sometimes there was a king or a judge or a prophet who would be given some special connection to God, and God's presence would be on them. But God's presence was never fully accessible to everyone. In fact, even within the nation, God commanded them to build this tabernacle and later a temple. And within the middle of the tabernacle in the temple was this room called the Holy of Holies. It was where God's presence was. In the middle of the room was the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the very presence of God. And when the nation would go out to war, the Ark would often go in front of them to show that God is going ahead of us. And when they came to the Jordan River, the priests stepped into the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant, and the waters parted. God's presence was uniquely present in the Holy of Holies, on the tabernacle, in the temple, but in the Ark of the Covenant. It represented the presence of God. But here's the problem. No one could enter the Holy of Holies. Only one person, one man, the high priest, once a year, and only after he did all kinds of ritual and sacrifices for his own sin and the sin of the nation. And so the presence of God was within the nation, but no one really had access to it. They still had our greatest problem. They had the problem of presence, but God was going to do something unique. And as we're diving into the miracle and mystery of this Christmas season, what we're going to see is that God showed up with his presence with a person. And it was unique, and it's mysterious, and it's miraculous, but it did not end with one person. So if you ever have Bibles, go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. Last week, we looked at the story of Christmas, the coming of Jesus, through the lens of Joseph. Today, I want to look at the coming of Jesus through the lens of Mary. What God did to bring his presence to a person, but it's not going to end with the person because it was extended to all. Here's what Luke writes, starting in verse 26 of chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Now, just so you know, Nazareth wasn't really on the way to anywhere. It was out in the middle of nowhere. It was a nothing town. He went to a nothing place in the middle of nowhere to probably what most people would consider a nobody. In fact, she didn't think she was anybody. significant. We're going to see later. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, the virgin's name was Mary. She didn't see herself as anything significant. From a out in the middle of nowhere town called Nazareth, God sent a messenger, Gabriel, to her. A virgin pledged to be married, engaged, but their engagement was different than ours. It was like you were married in every sense of the word, except you didn't live together, you didn't sleep together. So she's a virgin. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I mean, angels just don't show up any time of the day, especially not in Nazareth. And she doesn't see herself as anything significant. What does it mean to be highly favored? And what does it mean that God is with you? Well, she had no idea the extent of what that would all mean. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." And what does it look like to find favor with God? Well, for her, it meant this. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And the name Jesus literally means God saves, which would define both the identity of Jesus and the mission of Jesus. God saves. His identity is that he is fully God. He had a lineage of humanity. He was fully human, but he was also fully God, and he came. His mission was to save humanity from their sins. The angel goes on, Gabriel goes on, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And for most of us who aren't Jewish, this just seems like it's really directed to the Jewish people. It is, and yet it isn't. It goes beyond the nation of Israel. But he, the Messiah, the anointed one, prophets had spoken that he would come from the line of Abraham to bless the world. And so he says he will have the throne of his father David. He will come from the line of David, which fulfilled prophecy. The line of David, King David, that's David that killed Goliath, that David. And he will reign over Israel, Jacob's descendants, forever. And his kingdom will never end. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin." She may have been young, but she wasn't dumb. She says, "I know how this works. So how is it possible for me, though engaged, I have not been with a man. How is it possible?" And the angel, I think maybe to help her, like, I don't know, maybe to convince her or just show, "Hey, I'm legit. I'm the real deal." Said the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. He will be of the line of David. He will have human ancestry, fully flesh, fully human, but he will also be called the Son of God. And this is a miracle and a mystery we can't fully understand. But God would somehow overshadow Mary, and she would conceive a child who would be called not only the Son of Man, and Jesus is called the Son of Man in the Gospels, but also the Son of God. And as though to convince or maybe give some extra information to help Mary believe this, I'm not sure, the angel goes on, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month." I know it's hard for you to consider. What does it mean that he will be called the Son of God? See, imagine the nation of Israel for over 1,000 years has been trying to figure out how do we get to God's presence? And now you're saying that the deity, that God himself will indwell me? That I will carry the very presence of God? Wasn't the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant? It's like Mary is a new ark, carrying the presence of God himself inside of her. How will this be? Well, even your relative Elizabeth. Now, you know, when we have, you know, engagements, when we have, you know, hey, I'm going to have a baby, we put it on social media, we phone, we text, we tell our loved ones, they all hear about it. Elizabeth and Mary lived many days' journey away from each other. Presumably, Mary had no idea that her aged relative, who was beyond the point of having kids, was pregnant. And then the angel says, you better believe, because here's why. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. And I'm not sure why Mary does what she does next. Maybe it's like, I got to go see this thing for myself. Maybe she just wanted confirmation. Maybe she just wanted camaraderie. God had done something in her. How do you explain that, right? How do you explain a virgin birth? But God had also done something for her relative. So she decides to go see her relative. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And notice what happens. This is amazing. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now again, presumably, Mary, who is less than 3 months pregnant by this time, it's not necessarily showing. Presumably, someone who lives many days' journey away, Elizabeth has no idea that Mary's pregnant. And yet, something happened within Elizabeth. The baby within her leapt, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, says this, I think, speaking by the power of God's Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. How did she know she was pregnant? And what is it about this pregnancy that was different and unique that Elizabeth says, you are blessed? In fact, she goes on, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Not only does she know, hey, Mary, you're pregnant, but more than that, the child within you is my Lord. How did she know? Here's why. She says why she knew. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Now, why did the baby inside of Elizabeth know about this? Well, just a number of verses earlier, in verse 15, Gabriel, the angel that came to Mary to tell her, hey, you're going to have a child. It was also Gabriel that had gone to Zechariah and Elizabeth to tell them they were going to have a child. The child they were going to have, we have become known because he became famous. His name's John, known as John the Baptist. And he was the forerunner to Jesus. He was the one who would prepare the way for Jesus. But look at what the angel Gabriel said about John the Baptist. And this is why Elizabeth says, as soon as I heard you, the baby inside me leapt. He, that's John the Baptist, will be filled with the Holy Spirit even what? Before he is born. Before he was even born, God had already filled him. And when John the Baptist got in the presence of Jesus, whom he would be a forerunner for, he already started to get excited, even though he was only, 6 months along in the pregnancy with Elizabeth. Wow. Then Elizabeth ends this way. Blessed is she who has believed. And if you have your pen, a marker, highlight, underline, circle, star, the word believed. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would what? Fulfill his promise to her. Blessed is she who has believed. That word believe is so important. In fact, it's interesting. I was just doing my personal devotions this morning, reading in Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 11, this chapter of all these people who had this great faith, it said of Abraham that he believed God that he would fulfill the promise God had made to him. Almost the identical wording that Elizabeth uses of Mary. See, because what allowed Abraham to be declared righteous, to receive the gift of God, is also what Mary had. But God showed up to her. Now, Mary prays this prayer, which we're going to look at in a couple days on Christmas Eve. But then Luke kind of ends this section with kind of this random bit of information that we think, why did he put that in there? We may have a clue later. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Seems kind of interesting, right? Here's the interesting thing. God came and dwelt within a person. And this is the miracle and mystery of Christmas, that God showed up in the flesh and he entered the womb of Mary. God showed up in a person. God, who had been in a part of the temple and the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, whom no one could just go up and meet. That Father, that God, sent his Son, fully God, to dwell within a person. God's presence is the great present of Christmas, and it happened to Mary. It's an amazing, amazing miracle. But what I want to do now is I want to kind of shift gears. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, I have not come to abolish the law and prophets. I came to fulfill them. And I want to look at how Jesus fulfilled the Ark of the Old Covenant, and then what God did to put his presence into Mary. But then we're going to extend that, because it didn't stop with Mary. Some interesting things. In the Ark of the Covenant, in the Old Covenant, Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that in the Holy of Holies, the Ark was there, and there were some special things in this Ark of the Covenant that represented the very presence of God. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 3 says, behind the second curtain was a room called the Most Holy Place. That's the Holy of Holies. And which had the golden altar of incense and the gold covered Ark of the Covenant, which represented the very presence of God. And this ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Now here's the crazy thing. Jesus fulfilled all the things that were in the Ark of the Old Covenant. See, in John chapter 6, Jesus said regarding the manna which God had given the nation of Israel when they wandered in the desert for 40 days, Jesus said that the Israelites ate the manna and still died. But whoever comes to me and eats of me, and what he meant is whoever believes in me will never die. I am the true bread of life. Jesus fulfilled the presence of God that was in the Ark of the Covenant. Also, Aaron's staff that had budded. A staff often represented a shepherd. Jesus in John chapter 10 declares himself, I am the good shepherd. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life. My presence is here so that you may partake of life itself. The fulfillment of the covenant. And then lastly, and the stone tablets, which represent the Ten Commandments, which was the covenant between God and the nation of Israel. The stone tablets represented the very word and the very law of God. But notice what John says about Jesus in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, not only with God, and the Word was God. And three verses later, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So when the writer of Hebrews says the Ark of the Covenant contained manna and the staff and the stone tablets, Jesus was the fulfillment of God's presence come to earth. Much like the presence of God in the Old Testament was in the Ark and in the Holy of Holies, the temple. Now this was the stone tablets of the covenant, which represent the Old Covenant. But when Jesus came, he represented a new covenant. In fact, every month when we do communion, we partake of the Lord's Supper, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Jesus says this, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Jesus came as the new covenant. Jesus came as the new covenant in his own blood for the forgiveness of sins. An agreement between God and humanity. Now, Jesus as this new covenant, as the presence of God, just like the ark had the old covenant and the presence of God, God was doing a new thing through Jesus. Now, we're going to have a little fun, and hopefully you can keep up. But there's some interesting parallels that point to Jesus being the fulfillment of, and Mary, in a sense, being a new ark of this new covenant. See, the ark held the presence of God, and Mary also held the presence of God. It was significant, a miracle and mystery, as she carried God's presence within her. Here's a couple things that are parallels, which is very, very interesting. See, in the old covenant, after God had commanded Moses to build the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, and the Ark of the Covenant, after it was all complete, here's what we're told happened in Exodus chapter 40. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. His presence was there. In fact, Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It's like he couldn't, even Moses, a prophet of God, couldn't enter this presence because of the cloud. Now, what does the angel Gabriel in Luke chapter 1 say about Mary? The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow, like a cloud over you." Maybe a picture of the new covenant that was coming. Also in the story of the nation of Israel regarding the Ark of the Covenant, it's interesting. At one point, as I said earlier, often the Ark would go ahead of the nation in battle. And the Philistines, the enemies of Israel, had captured the Ark of the Covenant at one point. And when David became king, famous David and Goliath David, when he became king, he said, "We need to bring the Ark back." But it ran into some complications, and one of the guys, the ark was falling, he kind of touched it irreverently, and he was struck down. And David got to this point where he asked this question in kind of bewilderment and frustration: "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me? How can the ark, the presence of God, how could it ever come to me?" Notice the similarity of what Elizabeth said about Mary. "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Interesting parallel. Maybe it means something, maybe it's just a coincidence. Well, after David couldn't bring the ark because of this disaster of this man being killed, and he left it, Scripture tells us in 2 Samuel that the ark stayed in the hill country in that area for 3 months. Remember that random bit of information that Luke gives us at the end of the story? What? That Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And lastly, in the story of David and the ark finally coming to Jerusalem, we're told that David was so excited and filled with so much joy when the ark of God, the presence of God, finally entered the city. He was dancing, and he was dancing because it was so embarrassing. His wife, Michael, was like, "I'm embarrassed by you," right? He was so exuberant. He was dancing, and it says that he was leaping, or he leapt for joy. And what happened inside of Elizabeth, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and John the Baptist, who was inside of her, already filled with the Spirit? Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. So just kind of bring this all together. The Word of God and the covenant of God was in the old Ark of the Covenant, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, and the covenant it represented. But Jesus was the law and the Word of God, and he brought a new covenant. We see the cloud and the overshadowing in both the old covenant and the new ark, which was Mary. Bewilderment of the presence, right? The presence. How is it that the mother of my Lord, how is it that the ark of God's presence could ever come to me? 3 months of diverted time, and David and John the Baptist both leaping for joy at the coming of the presence of God. Now, this may all be coincidence. Or is it a foreshadowing of what God was doing? Jesus, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Regardless, even if that was just all for fun, what we've seen today is that God came and dwelt within a person. God came and dwelt within Mary. And it was a miracle, and it is mysterious. how that all worked. But God's presence is the great present of Christmas. And I told you earlier, it started with a person, but it did not end with a person. See, we might be tempted to make much of Mary. Mary was a nobody from nowhere. And she understood that. And we're going to see that in the prayer she prayed. It's only God who's significant. She would want us to be pointed to what God had done, not that she's significant, but what God had done for her, which is also what God will do for you and I. She was the first, but she is not the last. See, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, said this, "Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am where? In you." See, God's deity dwelt within Mary, but although she may have been the first, she was not the last. This would be extended to all. In fact, Jesus goes on a few verses later, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, and my Father will love them, and we will, Father and Son, we will come to them and make our home with them." And years later, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 would say, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?" God was going to do this, and we shouldn't be surprised, because the prophets, hundreds of years before Jesus came and dwelt within Mary, and before the promise was that we would also have God's presence dwell in us, the prophets already said, this is coming. Jeremiah says, this is the covenant, this new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time. It's not like the old, right? Declares the Lord. "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts." Jesus is the word. He is on our hearts and he has been placed in our minds. "I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, you should know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." God came and dwelt within a person, but it didn't stop there. God continues to come, and he dwells within people. You and I also have the opportunity to have the presence of God in us. And this is the great gift of Christmas. How do we receive this presence? I told you earlier there was something Mary did that we must also do to receive the gift of God's presence. Elizabeth, at the end of the story, says this, "Blessed is she who has believed." Blessed is the one who has believed that the promise made to them, he would fulfill. Abraham believed the promise of God and was declared righteous. Mary believed the promise of God and was given the presence of God. And likewise, Jesus would say, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Do you believe this? Will you follow in the pathway of Mary, who is given a gift that is given to all who will respond as she did? Blessed is the one who has believed. God's presence is the great present of Christmas. And he has made himself available, accessible to each one of us. You know, we started the message by saying our greatest need, your greatest need, is the presence of God. And it's interesting, pain has a way of accentuating our greatest need. It's why often in pain we say, "God, where are you? God, would you show up? God, why did you allow this to happen?" And it's interesting, as joyous as Christmas is, for many of you, what becomes acutely aware in your mind is the pain of the last year, the loss, the broken relationships. And this Christmas, as you maybe experience some joy, maybe you're going to experience some pain. I want to invite you to consider that God has already met your greatest need. And as much as you may wonder and question, God, why have you allowed this to happen? God, would you change us? God, I feel so alone. That you are not alone. Because God has sent his son. And it started with a person. But it has been extended to all of us. If we only respond through the hands of faith. I want to invite the worship team up and let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've done. The gift of your presence that you've given us. And it's a miracle and it is a mystery. Not only what you have done and done in the past through Jesus coming, through Mary, a virgin, and the conception, and God in the flesh showing up. We can't make full sense of that. But it is a miracle and mystery that even today we have access to your throne and that you declare, Jesus, that you and the Father, as we believe in you, that you and the Father will make your home within us. Father, help us, give us the hearts and the minds, the ears to hear. Help us to understand more and more this great gift you have given and to respond even when we don't necessarily have the faith. Father, help us to believe that what you have promised will come to pass. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.